This is Growing the Valley, a podcast by the University of California, Agriculture and Natural Resources. I'm one of your hosts, Luke Melliron, Farm Advisor for Butte, Tehama, and Glenn Counties.
I'm your other host, Phoebe Gordon, Orchard Farm Advisor for Madera and Merced Counties. Today, I'm speaking with Brittany Goodrich, an assistant professor of cooperative extension with UC Davis and part of the agricultural economics group there. And we are going to be talking about the 2023 bee outlook. So welcome back to the podcast, Brittany.
Thanks, Phoebe. It's good to be here, as always.
Yeah. So I guess to start off the episode, can we just kind of go over the current economic backdrop for growers? I think most growers are going to be pretty familiar with this, but just good to lay the groundwork. So what has the year looked like for a lot of our growers?
Yeah, so unfortunately, many growers listening will probably not be surprised to hear this, but it's been a pretty rough year for many almond growers. Prices are, you know, hovering around 20% lower than their five-year average. Input costs pretty much all over the board are up, including fertilizer, many different herbicides, labor costs. So profit margins have really narrowed this year with respect to previous years. And so I think there many growers are looking for ways to cut their input costs in ways that are not going to, you know, harm their overall profits.
What about the acreage in the state?
Yeah, so we're looking this year about 1.3 million acres to 1.4 million acres. It's still a little bit up in the air. And in this article that I've written for West Coast Nut for their January issue, I have, you know, I went a little more in depth into some of the newer Land IQ almond acreage data, and they have some information on almond removals. And so removals in general have been up this year compared to the prior 2 years. I believe we were at around 60,000 acres removed in 2022. And so some of the stuff that I looked at is what ages of acreage of almond acreage are being removed, and where are, you know, those younger orchards being removed. So in looking at this data, I found that 42% of all of the almond acreage being removed is actually orchards that are less than 20 years old. So traditionally, I think we've seen that, you know, 25 to 30 years is the useful life of an almond orchard. So we might be removing a larger proportion of younger orchards right now just because of the narrowing profit margins and concerns about Sigma. And I found that the counties driving that are primarily in the southern San Joaquin Valley. So we see these really, you know, water stressed areas that are removing relatively higher proportions of younger acreage than areas further north. So that definitely is going to have an impact on acreage over, you know, the next few years, though I kind of see it more so at this point anyways as sort of stabilizing around that 1.3 million acres as opposed to shrinking anytime soon.
Interesting. So since the acreage does seem to be stabilizing potentially, what does that mean for the current demand for bee colonies? How would this compare to previous years?
Yeah, so it's a little bit tricky, honestly, and the trickiness primarily comes from the difference in the data sources. So Land IQ reports some really great in-depth data on acreage by county, but they don't necessarily report it by variety. And so for honeybee colonies, we really want to know, especially with the rise of self-fertile varieties, we want to look by variety to see how much acreage we have. So there's a little bit of a discrepancy here because the variety acreage is reported by USDA NAS, and they're typically a little bit behind with updating their acreage reports and a little bit less accurate than Land IQ. So from my estimates, using 2 hives per acre for traditional varieties of almonds and 1 hive per acre for self-fertile varieties, this year in 2023, we're looking at about 2.8 million colonies. And that's a little up over what I estimated for 2022, which was 2.6 million colonies. So we have bumped up a little bit, but like I said, these could be potentially overinflated if USDA numbers haven't taken into account some of the acreage that has been removed yet. But 2.8 million colonies, or maybe 2.6 million, if we're more in line with what we were last year. And for context, that's still a very large proportion of the honeybee colonies in the US. So it's like over 90% of colonies as of January 1, 2022. So those are the most recent numbers that we have reported from USDA. So we're using, again, almost all the colonies in the US, probably even a higher proportion of commercial bee colonies, because USDA counts, yeah, beekeepers anywhere from 5 to 10,000 colonies, or whatever the upper limit is.
What's the current outlook for the nation's bee colonies?
There are a couple of health issues, or I guess just health slash weather issues, that I think we need to be thinking about going into 2023. So one of the biggest ones is Hurricane Ian that hit Florida in September of this year. Florida is one of the states in the U.S. that provides most of the honeybee, well, maybe not most, but a lot of honeybee colonies for California for almond pollination. There are a lot of commercial beekeepers there. I've seen reports of up to 400,000 colonies that are potentially negatively impacted by Hurricane Ian in Florida. And for context, I mean, that's about 22% of the estimated demand for colonies for almond pollination. So it really had the potential to, I think I saw in reports about 100,000 colonies were destroyed completely. And then the other 300,000 are suffering from being drowned or having lack of food in the area. So that Hurricane Ian is definitely something that growers need to be thinking about if they are, you know, contracting with growers from Florida. The other thing is that I think we all know that we've been in a drought in the West for a number of years now. And in particular, so droughts can affect honeybee colonies because when there's fewer, you know, just fewer flowers blooming, that's less natural forage for them to be collecting pollen and nectar from. And so then the beekeepers have to feed them sugar syrup, and that is definitely not as healthy for the bee colonies as that natural forage. So particularly any bee colonies that are in the western U.S. during the summer months, when we've been having these drought-like conditions, this is a problem. And in particular, I look at Texas because there's a lot of commercial bee colonies that are in Texas for honey production every year. Texas is usually in the top 5 of honey producing states in the US. So definitely growers need to be in contact with their beekeepers, especially those from Texas and Florida that may experience some health issues this year. I've also heard some anecdotal reports at either the Almond Conference or various beekeeper meetings that varroa mites have been particularly high this year. I'm not sure how widespread that is. But yeah, certainly it's something to be aware of and be checking with your beekeepers or pollination brokers to make sure that you've got adequate bee colonies.
So this all sounds like it might increase the cost of pollination in 2023. So what are some considerations that growers should think about if they're thinking about trying to cut back on, you know, how much they're spending on this really significant cost?
Yeah, so I think something important for growers to keep in mind is especially crop insurance. So many growers, if you know, you had many growers suffered from the frost in 2022. So they probably now realize that one of the first things that they're being asked once they file these crop insurance claims is actually how many bee colonies did you have out there, and did you have adequate number of bee colonies? So one of the most important things to keep in mind is to make sure that you're meeting all of those requirements. So the USDA requires for pollination. There's a little bit of flexibility here, but basically they suggest 2 6-frame hives per acre, 6-frame average, or its equivalent. So basically they want you to have 12 frames per acre. So that can be anything from, you know, 1 12-frame colony per acre, or you could do even like 3 hives per acre at a 4-frame average. So do smaller colonies and you would be meeting that minimum. So that's something important to keep in mind. Make sure you're meeting that 12-frame minimum. And basically, you can play around with this a little bit and see what actually saves you money. So I've done, you know, a few calculations, and I expect in recent years, most growers are using that rule of thumb of, you know, 2 hives per acre at an 8-frame average. So at that point, you're actually over your 16 frames per acre. So you can probably adjust either your hives per acre down or your frame count per acre. So I've done a couple of just, you know, random thought experiments. So if you do 1.5 hives per acre at an 8-frame average, you're still meeting that 12-frame minimum, but you're saving about $103 per acre if you account for the lower hive density. Or you could do an alternative thing where you contract for maybe a higher strength colony. So maybe a 10-frame colony at 1.2 hives per acre. You're still meeting that 12-frame minimum. You're going to have to pay a little bit more for that colony. So I have about an average of $231 per colony at that 10-frame average versus $205 per colony at the 8-frame average. But you're still comparing with that 2 hives per acre at an 8-frame average, that's still saving you $133 per acre. So there's a lot of things growers can do. It's important to keep in mind that you need to be communicating with your pollination provider, because if a beekeeper, if you had previously talked with your beekeeper about bringing in an 8-frame average, they are going to have put a significant amount of inputs and labor into trying to meet that 8-frame average. So they may be, you know, reluctant to give you the 6-frame average price because they've already spent the money at this point to increase the size of their colonies so that they're ready for you. So it's really about communicating with your beekeeper to make sure that they're comfortable with, you know, the prices and the number of colonies that you're renting out, because you really, I mean, we're, you know, using over 90% of the colonies in the US. So we need to make sure that we have that secure pollination provider in the years to come.
Is there anything you'd like to add that I haven't asked about?
One other thing that I've done a lot of work on, I think I talked about it last year as well, is I recently did some economic research with, or a survey with beekeepers to try and figure out what contractual components they actually value. So this is another way that growers can actually potentially decrease the cost of their pollination, is just simply by providing beekeepers with beneficial either contract components or things like, if you have a good holding yard for the beekeepers to actually put their colonies in and sort of feed them before almond pollination, some of them will give you a discount. But in this survey, some of the things that beekeepers really valued, we asked about additional pesticide protection. So one of the things beekeepers really struggle with is, you know, we're not applying really hardcore insecticides during almond bloom, but oftentimes, and maybe this year, hopefully we're wet during almond bloom, we're going to have to apply fungicides. And sometimes if we tank mix multiple fungicides together, or if we apply some adjuvants to make them, you know, stick better, those actually become sublethally toxic to honeybee colonies. So beekeepers really valued growers who were willing to apply pesticides either later in the evening or at night when bees aren't flying. So that was the thing that they valued most overall. They also really valued a couple of different cover crop mixes. So if, you know, you're thinking about planting cover crops, it is a big expense. And so it's not surprising if you're hesitant about doing it, but your beekeeper will really value that cover crop, and they may be willing to offer you a discount on your pollination fee for planting it. So in particular, the soil builder mix from Project Apis M, as well as any mustard mix that you planted, and it's a little bit late for planting cover crops now, but something to keep in mind for future years, that the beekeepers value those and may be willing to give you a discount for those. Additionally, upfront payment, so if you can pay them in advance at least some portion of the pollination fee, that really helps out, and they may be willing to give you, knock down the price of your pollination fee. So it's really, again, I kind of just stress, like, it's about communicating with your beekeeper and sort of negotiating these different aspects into your contract so that it can be mutually beneficial for both of you. So yeah, I guess my advice is to be flexible.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Growing the Valley, a UCANR podcast. You can find out more about this episode at our website, growingthevalleypodcast.com.
We'd like to thank the Almond, Pistachio, Walnut, and Prune Boards for their support. We'd also like to thank my sister, Muriel Gordon, for writing and recording the theme music.